Hi, everybody. Andrew Champagne here with WizardRaceAndSports.com. And today, well, Wiz and I just wanted to talk shop. We thought it'd be a lot of fun, and we think there's a lot of really cool things that we'll touch on over the course of this conversation, having to do with horse racing, having to do with the Kentucky Derby, having to do with the road to the Kentucky Derby. Lots of fun things we can touch on. Wiz, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great here up in cold Connecticut.
I'm doing just fine here in perceived cold Northern California, where if it's 60 degrees, people try to say the sky is falling. Bunch of wind. Anyway, so we're recording this as a preface here on Thursday, February 9th. So about 3 months before the 2023 Kentucky Derby. And Wiz, you've got on your site already some recaps of the first couple Kentucky Derby prep races. Again, WizardRaceAndSports.com, resource for a whole bunch of horse racing and sports information and insight. So, Wiz, I guess the big question I've got is, what are you looking to provide viewers of your site and readers of your content with this analysis of each Kentucky Derby prep race?
Well, there's a lot that lead up to the big day. And every week, I take whatever key prep races there are. You know, they've obviously, I'm looking at the graded races. So by the time we get to the final prep race for the first Saturday in May, I'll probably have 20 of them, 25, something like that. And what I try to do as for free, just to help people not only understand my thinking or how I view a race or watch a race, but to provide them from the Wizard's perspective, my analysis from my eyes. You know, I'm not a speed figure guy. I don't use figures. I use my eyes and my instincts. And what I do is I have an analysis of the race, you know, the horses that ran. I don't touch on all of them because some of the ones that run out of the picture are not even close. I don't waste my time on, but I'm looking for horses. I'll have something on the winner, probably the second and third place finishers, and something from behind that was a little sneaky. I have my own track bias. So I go through the entire card and I use the track bias into my notes. Pace, I'll give a pace analysis. And what this exercise is to be is not only to lead you to potential contenders for the Derby, but also some bets along the way after the Derby through the Triple Crown in lesser races. I might have a note on some horse that ends up in an allowance race that could be a good play. So it's basically knowledge and education going forward through the Triple Crown races and to help you cash a ticket.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, every Kentucky Derby prep, in addition to leading to the Kentucky Derby, tends to lead to something further down the road. You've got each track having their own little road to the Kentucky Derby circuit. At Oaklawn Park, you've got the Southwest leading to the Rebel, leading to the Arkansas Derby. At Aqueduct, you've got the Withers leading to the Gotham, leading to the Wood. And it's just a matter of building on that knowledge. And the more you have as you go, the better situation you're going to be in theory in the long run, I presume.
Yeah. And I'm a trip handicapper. You know, I watch races and I have subtle things I look for that escape people. You know, it's not everybody uses figures, but there's a lot more to the figures. You know, if a horse is making a middle move into the fastest part of the pace and he's on the inside or she's on the inside and the rail is dead, I'll know that and I'll notate that because it's basically handicapping the race, seeing the setup, seeing what horses benefited from the setup and which horses didn't. And so I'm looking between the lines and I've always done that. And that served me well for all these years I've been doing this professionally, going back to when I was a kid and learning my craft then.
Yeah, there's a lot of little quirks, too. You mentioned with speed figures, if one horse runs a 100 buyer and one horse runs an 80, there are going to be more people on the 100 buyer. But if that 100 buyer horse had a history of running, say, mid-70s and put forth one freakish effort, is that the kind of horse you really want to bet at 4-5 over the horse that's taking steps forward every time? There's a lot of little quirks and a lot of little things that you get from following the sport as closely as you follow it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if a horse gets cooked on a very fast pace, blistering pace, is finished at the 3/16 pole, the jockey wants to wrap up on the horse and save the horse for another day. The horse could get beaten 20 lengths, but the race, the speed figure won't really be the, you know, justified to what his performance actually was. He'll get a lot lower speed figure when really it's the internal fractions of the race that determined his speed figure.
Sure.
So there's a lot of thing nuances that being a race watcher, in my opinion, is a lost art. And then, you know, coupling that with understanding pace and bias, it's sort of the whole package, you know, looking at it rather than just what's right in front of you and what's obvious.
For sure. Yeah. It's all about going a little bit deeper and finding that little morsel of information that maybe somebody else doesn't necessarily have. Obviously, we're looking at these races as part of a larger picture on the road to the Kentucky Derby. Again, we're recording this in early February, a lot of time between now and the first Saturday in May. But what are some of the aspects you look for in a potential Kentucky Derby horse at this stage when horses are still developing, they're still growing, in some cases, they're still finding their footing and learning how to be a racehorse?
I like to look at progression, very not huge steps, very subtle, small steps forward. I like to study trainers, how they get horses ready to, you know, Baffert is a great example of a master at getting a horse to peak on Derby Day. You want to see the strength of races, you know, after all the preps are done, you get a sense of, and as you handicap these races, what parts of the country are yielding the better fields? Is New York, a races like the Gotham, the Wood, as strong as the Florida Derby? You know, the Santa Anita races are the fields. We ran a race the other day, the Robert B. Lewis. We had four horses in that race, all trained by Bob Baffert. What is that race really going to tell you going forward? The Derby's 20 horses. You're not, you know, I don't want to see a horse win by 10 lengths under wraps. They're going to be overbet in the Derby. I rather see a Silver Charm. I rather see a horse that is a battler, you know, in a race, and maybe doesn't win the race, runs third, but looks a horse in the eye and shows me some fight rather than the easy winner in a five-horse field. And everything has changed in preparing horses for the Derby now as it was in the when I was growing up, when I was younger. You had much tougher races. You had horses that had more starts.
You had more horses too.
Yeah, you didn't. I never even conceived of a four horse field with the same trainer training all of them. What is that? So a horse runs of nine. I don't know what the winner ran in the Robert Lewis. I think it was a 94 buyer.
It was 100. Like, I think he did hit triple digits.
But what does that really prove going forward in a four horse field?
Not a lot.
And the other thing I like to see is the gallop out past the wire. I want to see a horse that doesn't empty the tank in a race on the heels of the Derby. I want to see a horse that I think is fresh, has been well managed. You know, in the Derby, it's hard to trip out the whole race because of the amount of horses in the field, but you can get an idea of history has shown that if you're not on the lead or close to the lead at the quarter pole or turning for home, you're not closing from far back and getting the money at Churchill, even though Churchill has a long stretch. You want tactical speed. You want a horse that's athletic, that's agile, that can overcome any traffic, you know, has shown in races that it could run well in a herd, run well between horses, get dirt kicked in its face. I want to see that type of athlete rather than a horse that's on the lead, setting its own pace, not pressured, doesn't look other horses in the eye, because a battle-hardened horse, if we can say there's battle-hardened horses in this day and age, but some horse that I know is looking another horse in the eye and saying, you're not catching me, or I'm going to give you everything I got, and I may not win today, but I'm going to win soon.
Nothing else, those horses are easy to root for, right? I don't want to spend too much time on this because we've got bigger points and bigger things to go about, but I want to pick your brain on something, because we talked about the Bob Lewis. We talked about the four-horse field with all the horses trained by Bob Baffert. As it stands right now, any Baffert-trained horse needs to go to another barn in order to accrue Kentucky Derby points. What do you make of horses that make that kind of trainer switch? Do you downgrade them, or are you of the mindset of Baffert knows a lot of very good trainers as well, and it's not necessarily a deal breaker if they're running for another barn?
You know, it depends. If these horses are given over to trainers now, a few months before the Derby, I would find that a major negative, because I just think that Baffert, just give him time. I know his operation. He's a genius at this. A trainer with 2-3 months, 4 months, you know, we're already in February. So March, April, we're almost, what, 3 months out, 2.5 months? What is it?
Less than three, yeah.
Okay. That's a little too much time for me.
Okay.
For another trainer to get, I would say a regression rather than a forward move into the Derby would be more likely. But if the horse is switched a few weeks, let's say a month before the Derby, I wouldn't discount that. I would say it's not even a negative, because you're training on Baffert's training. Mm-hmm. There's not much else and it's not much else you have to do. It's like fresh off the truck. Like right. But if it's too long, like in the next few weeks and it's switched, I would say it's a negative, because, you know, you're going from the best to trainers that aren't even, you know, haven't even proven close to what he's done. So that's how I see that.
It's a fascinating situation that we'll be sure to follow. But you mentioned battle-hardened horses and how those don't necessarily exist all that much anymore. Just a couple of years ago, we saw Justify, who didn't even run as a two-year-old, sweep the Triple Crown races. Last year, we saw Taba go into the Kentucky Derby off of two prep races, the maiden race win, the Santa Anita Derby win. What's your take on horses as far as experience is concerned? Is there a minimum number of starts you want to see before you start feeling comfortable with a horse being able to handle 19 other horses, the mile and a quarter, the 150,000 people at Churchill Downs? What's your take on that?
Well, here, Tabe is a perfect example that you just brought up, is that he was a trainer switch.
Yeah.
And look what happened. He ran so great in the Santa Anita Derby. And when I handicapped that race, I tossed him. What was he, 5 or 6 to 1 in the Derby?
He was he was 6 or 7 to 1, something okay. Like that.
Right. But he was a toss to me, because it was a downgrade in trainers and an inexperienced horse. Mm-hmm. If it's not Bob Baffert and it's every other trainer, I want to see 2-year-old foundation. Definitely. I want to see at least 2 starts, you know, maybe 3 as a 2-year-old. I want to see certainly 2 to 3 starts, 2 minimum, as a 3-year-old, preferably 3 races. I don't care where they are. It could, they could be at the Arkansas, in Arkansas. It could be on the West Coast. It could be in Florida at Gulfstream, in New York. But I want to see some foundation, especially, you know, if you take Baffert out of the mix, I want to, it's horses make trainers. Trainers can ruin horses.
It's fascinating because every year you see these horses come up from absolutely nowhere in January or February. They run off the screen in these maiden races, and the expression is could be any kind. And it's interesting to see those horses because those horses often wind up being the wise guy horses. I remember Charge It off of a very impressive allowance race for Pletcher, wound up going to the Florida Derby and was a very short price that day. You wind up potentially capitalizing on horses that may not be as impressive, but have the foundation and have the bottom to them to where A, two turns is not going to be a problem, and B, they're experienced enough to know what they're doing.